Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek. How are you today?
I am the same.
The same, as always, or...?
The same, which is just below par.
Okay.
I've had to...
Par for life.
I have had to readjust. I thought, I'm in sort of quite a bad mood.
Yes.
And it happens so regularly.
Mm.
I think actually my is my normal.
You're getting used to that. That's now.
Yes.
Okay. So you're like a bad mood junkie. You need a stronger and stronger hit in order to get even more annoyed.
My default mode is slightly annoyed.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. I'm not happy.
What's your default mood out of 10? If say one was depressed and 10 was happy.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm on that linear scale in terms of my.
So you're not just a 1 to 10 personality.
No, I think I'm detached. I think my my default setting is just detached.
What? Not really living your own life.
Well, yeah, just sort of an observer in my own life. Yeah.
That's probably for watching TV, isn't it?
It's probably growing up with films.
Well, that's terrifying.
Is it? I don't know. It's quite zen. I find it quite.
I don't know.
Things don't annoy me that easily.
Okay.
There you go. But that's the basis of our double act, there, isn't it? It's a man who is hyper annoyed by life and somebody who's barely.
I don't think I'm hyper annoyed. I think I never used to be. I've become that.
Okay.
For experience. I've developed a mental illness through living in London.
It can do it to you.
17 years now.
Definitely. I mean, there's no respite, is there? There's no quiet spaces that you just suddenly find yourself in. You have to seek them out. You have to have a mission in order to go to some quiet place.
And then the actual journey to get back from the quiet
place is even more stressful.
Yeah, undoes all the... But we're not here to talk about moods. We're here...
Well, we are setting up, potentially, the theme of the film that we both went to see this week.
Both went to see a film.
Yes, Film Fandango fans, this is possibly a first.
We both went to see the same film, and we're saying it at the same time.
Yes, the film we went to see is High Rise, which is the latest film by Ben Wheatley, the director of Kill List and Down Terrace and Sightseers, and it's written by his partner, Amy Jump.
His partner as in wife?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. It's an adaptation of the J.G.
Ballard book, yeah. Do you want to tell our listeners basically what it's about? Do you think you can... I mean, it's difficult to describe, isn't it?
It is a sort of dystopia set within a high-rise building where the different classes can coexist. And they live according to their class and what floor it is.
Yeah, so it's a rather overt allegory for the class structure in Britain specifically, isn't it?
It is a separate sort of universe that exists.
Yeah, even that when things go tits up, nobody leaves. They all still stay there. I mean, when I say it's an overt allegory, it's the man who lives in the penthouse who designed the entire block system is called Mr. Royal, which is the Royal at the top. Yeah,
it's half. It's just on the border of fantasy.
Yeah,
and they did a thing which was very clever, I think. Because I don't know when the novel was published. I presume in the 70s, But rather than bring it into the modern times, they
it
sort of
feels
that,
late 70s, they, doesn't
they've
it?
They've kept that 70s. It's sort of set in the... It never really establishes a date, but the dress and the cars.
The cars and, yeah. and all of the, yeah. So Tom Hiddleston plays a character called Dr. Lang, who is a physiologist, I believe. He seems to do brain surgery. And he moves into the building and is something of an aloof character, and people accuse him of being a social climber. What he actually wants, I'm never really clear. But and he interacts with people on all floors, basically, on his way through this hellhole. That slowly things disintegrate when they lose, start to get power losses. So people run out of food and lighting and everything, and society basically turns on itself.
Yeah, it's about a disintegration of society. I'm a big fan of Ben Wheatley's, especially his earlier stuff. I really didn't like A Field in England.
Oh, did you not? I did. I don't think I'd watch it again, and I think that was my crazy at the time. But I did enjoy it as an interesting artistic piece. I thought, you know, it wasn't boring, but I know what you mean. Kill List, I thought, was just sensationally both tense and creepy.
Down Terrace was... really
first
stage
film,
movie, yeah.
Yeah, Down Terrace is excellent.
What's amazing is to see this film here, because I always think it's quite a raw filmmaker. Like, I'll just film it. Felt almost just... I was going to go out and film it. I was going to go and do it.
Yes.
And
Guerrilla, story, yeah, they call that.
This is so... the look of it is magnificent.
It feels actually a bit, and you'll hate me for saying this, but it feels a bit like Wes Anderson crossed with Terry Gilliam. You know, it's got something of that hyper-real look that Wes Anderson goes for. You know, the sort of unreal colours and sharpness of image.
And I mean, I think Anderson, especially like, the way he does the thing that Kubrick used to do, of just centering everything, making everything like a picture and putting framing everything because it's so distinctively framed.
Mm.
This feels like it is very distinctively framed, and some of the... Who drew the pictures of someone jumping off a diving board outside, you know, the famous...
I don't know that one.
I can't remember. American artist who did sort of... Oh, I can't remember his name. It looks a lot like his pictures.
Okay.
You've got Tom Hiddleston reclining on a sunbed. It's just framed beautifully. Yeah, yeah. The colours in it are very 70s.
The brutalism of the architecture allows for a lot of those compositions as well, don't they? Because wherever you put the camera, there's just this stark, hard line going through it, wherever you go. Did you enjoy the film?
Well, I thought it was quite... When I first moved to London, I lived next to Trellick Towers, which is Erno Goldfinger, who's the person the Bonbon is named after.
Yes.
He's built these two in West London, this famous tower, which... has similar feel to the high-rise thing. Very ugly. You'll know it if you drive along the West Way.
Yeah.
Very ugly, but very stylised, listed buildings. It was quite odd. Looking at the building there, I thought, there's sort of slight resemblances to it. I can't use the right words. Did I enjoy the film? I thought I was in love with the look of it. I think just when you watch films for the first, half an hour or so, you can... enjoy the look and the feel of it, but it just I know it's supposed to go mental and it's supposed to break down, but it felt that the whole film broke down.
I felt it was too long, and I found myself going, I really like your decision there, but I wasn't engaged in the experience at all.
I enjoyed the first half, and then
I think that is probably down to Tom Hiddleston, because I've watched films that have a similar feel and drive and structure to them before, and interestingly enough, there was an aborted attempt to make this book into a film by Nicholas Roeg a long time ago, and it never got off the ground. And actually thinking about that, you go, yeah, Nicholas Roeg films, you know, Bad Timing or The Man Who Fell to Earth or whatever, have a very similar sort of just... a charismatic man you can't help but watch going through this strangeness and just sort of surviving in something that's quite uncomfortable and weird, and then it all kicks off at the end. And this is pretty much the same, but I didn't feel I got any depth to Tom Hiddleston at all. Like, he's confident and he has some charisma, but I didn't know who he was. I hadn't a clue. You know, I didn't know anything about him, really. I don't even really know why we were following him, of all the characters. I thought Luke Evans was brilliant.
Yeah, he was great.
And I wanted to follow his character, really.
What has he been in before?
Luke Evans is in all sorts, but he's in... I interviewed him for The Three Musketeers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
His face is amazing.
Yeah. And that's more closer to his actual accent, because he was using his Welsh there.
Okay.
To have a bit of a sort of... almost Richard Burton-esque sort of thing.
Yeah, that's very much who he reminded me of. Yeah, yeah.
But he was brilliant in it. And he was... I think when you have a film that's so detached from human experience and reality, you really, as an audience member, appreciate the people who managed to inject some human life into it. And I thought Sienna Miller was doing that brilliantly as well. And I enjoyed Jeremy Irons and... his wife, Keely Hawes.
Yeah.
For me, Tom Hiddleston, although sort of statuesque and, you know, ostensibly correct for it, I didn't get anything from
him. I think it's quite interesting. He's obviously the big star, rising star.
Yes.
He feels to me like a bit like Daniel Craig's Bond.
Okay.
Very much like the James Bond. And James Bond is a boring character.
Yes.
And I think he's become more and more boring. They tried to make him interesting, but he's just a flat... I long for the Roger Moore James Bond when he had a bit of humour, because Daniel Craig's just almost stripped him of every single personality.
Well, actually, Daniel Craig's probably gone back to what he was in the novels. I've been doing a bit of research about Ian Fleming recently, and he named him James Bond because it was the name of somebody he met who he thought had the most boring name he'd ever heard. And so he gave him a boring name because he's supposed to be just a blunt instrument sort of everyman, so that people reading it can go, it could be me driving those cars and going to all jet setting around the world to all that could be me, because James Bond's boring.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the point of it. And then they cast Sean Connery, who was, you know, hugely charismatic and made it his own. But
yeah, I think they all, I think Tom Hiddleston doesn't have... You're exactly right. I watched The Night Manager, which is the BBC.
I've not watched that, but
and I found
that's a John le Carré, isn't it?
Yeah, and I found that it was all right, but I didn't really. There's something I can't put my finger on. I don't really want him. You're a good actor. You're obviously ladies find you very attractive.
Yes, I don't know. I don't want to get too sort of general sweeping statement here, but I wonder if he's a bit like Eddie Redmayne in that he is. Technically very good, a lot of experience, huge amounts of self-confidence, but there's no real pain or depth in there.
Eddie Redmayne's got a lot more, he's a lot softer, and has a lot more charm, I think, than Tom
Really? Hiddleston. I've never got anything other than what is on the page from either of them.
I think my week with Marilyn, Eddie Redmayne was really good in.
Okay, I didn't see that one.
And when he played Stephen Hawking, he was good. I've not seen but I don't think in this, Tom Hiddleston's quite cold. Yeah, I just thought I got lost. I found it a bit boring and all over the place.
Mm.
And there's only so, and it was just crazy. And I thought I don't really care about the characters, but I still enjoyed it as a visual spectacle.
Yeah, I did enjoy the allegorical nature of even when, you know, everything's going to shit and their problems are so clearly apparent that you have the posh people in their penthouse. Trying to come up with a plan to solve a problem that ostensibly it doesn't matter, but that's all that they go do. And it's that surreal nature where it did, I think, very effectively shine quite a astute lens on modern society. I thought that stuff, as a satire, I thought it was actually quite haunting.
Yeah.
Just as a story, it wasn't that engaging.
Well, I like to read the books. I know J.G. Ballard's properly mentored some of his stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like I can't give it a proper critique until I've read the book. I don't know.
Well, you can give the film a critique.
Yeah, I suppose.
How many Marics would you give it?
Five or six?
Yeah, I'm a six, I think.
Yeah.
I think I'm a six. Yeah. Was that his real beard, do you think, at the beginning and end?
I don't know.
What do you think? looked a bit... He didn't look like a homeless man to me. He looked quite specific.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I love the fact that we have incredible computer technology that can make entire life forms, and yet prosthetic beards still look crap.
Yes, because all the netting, isn't it?
Because they never look like they've actually grown out of your face.
No. You can't get the colour right. You can't. It's impossible. So difficult. It's impossible. I guess what it's time for now.
This.
Some people like writing letters. We like reading them out.
Dear David Marek and Buddy, please read in the voice of a grizzled Vietnam veteran who has seen too much in the jungle. I was pleased to hear you read out a letter from my friend Dr. Tim Mason last week. I can't be bothered. I can confirm he is an actual doctor with a stethoscope and everything. When I last saw him a few weeks ago, we spent quite a while discussing our concern regarding Marek's employment status. So it's good to hear that the ad revenue from his YouTube channel is picking up. It was £2.50. That's not enough. That was one fluke day. That's not enough to sustain my daily...
You need to cut back, mate. You can't live on £2.50 in London.
I'll carry on with the letter.
Okay.
On your recommendation, I recently watched Kijaki, or Kilo 2 Bravo, with my flatmate. We thought it was fantastic, but our viewing was slightly hampered when he set fire to some lamb chops under the grill, which filled the entire kitchen and lounge area with smoke for a large portion of the film. In retrospect, it was quite an immersive experience, as the film was littered with explosions and dust. I'm still not quite sure if my watering eyes are burnt from the emotional roller coaster or from the burnt chops.
The smell probably added to it as well.
Have you ever had an involuntary 4D cinema experience along these lines? I also watched The Revenant recently in an icy cold cinema, which added a little extra realism to the viewing. Unlike Tim, I'm not a doctor and do not have small children, so can happily go to cinema and pick up almost a lethal dose of man flu whenever I like. Keep watching the films. Poor good child.
Good child. Thank you for that. Kijaki with burnt chops. That's a 4D experience.
I watched Kijaki.
What did you think?
I thought it was fantastic.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Kijaki in this country, the UK, but has also been called Kilo 2 Bravo, I think, in other countries, but it's well worth a look.
It's almost like a bottle... It's a bottle episode, really,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Which is probably a restriction of budget, but it's just so well done. And what I'm more and more appreciating from watching films, and I think it's superhero movies grinding my optimism down, is a film that has a different take on a subject. Because we're so used to just like, yeah, it's a rom-com where the man is the same as all men in rom-coms, yeah. And the woman is the same as all women in rom-coms. And it's just like, you can do a genre piece but have a different, you know, sort of philosophy on it. And this one is, it's just a story you've not been told in this way before. It's just great. I really like it. Really like it. 4D cinema experiences. I felt like I had a creature growing inside me that needed to burst out whilst I was watching Prometheus, but it was a full bladder, so I just went to the loo.
When I was a student, we watched Apocalypse Now, getting really stoned, and put ties around our heads and moved the plants in front of the television.
Okay. Did it add to the experience?
I think we enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
I had a horrible experience where some drunken friends at a party decided about 4 a.m. that I really, really had to see Transformers the movie, as in the cartoon one, because I'd never seen it. And I was falling asleep. And I sat there in a chair with this surreal shit cartoon in front, falling asleep. And every time I fell asleep, they would punch me in the arm to wake up and carry on watching.
That's torture.
It kind of is. But,
Well, you've been tortured.
Yeah. But that's Orson Welles' final film. That's how I've seen it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Feeling like I'm in the throes of death myself. Have we got any more letters?
Stephen Higgins!
Yeah, sure, but have we got any more letters?
That's quite a good thing to say to people.
It's just an exclamation. Stephen Higgins!
Stephen Higgins, you can do some reading.
Okay, Stephen writes... Hello, David Marrick, buddy and possibly guest. Does he ask for a voice? No, good. Thank God. I wondered if you guys had seen Comes a Bright Day. You have spoken about bottle episodes in recent times, and I think this would qualify. It doesn't get the best of reviews, but I really enjoyed it. It has some great performances and resists the temptation to go down the route of implausible plot twists. It's interesting to see Trainspotting's Kevin McKidd in another unrecognisable role. I haven't seen him since his stint as a time traveller in the short-lived but very watchable TV series Journeyman. I've also recently watched the documentaries A Faster Horse and Journey to Le Mans, both pretty interesting, but I wouldn't recommend them to anyone who is not really into cars. Keep watching the films. Steve Higgins.
Stephen Higgins.
Stephen Higgins. Comes a Bright Day. I've never heard of that.
Never heard of it.
No, well, just
watch it.
We'll have to add it to the list of films that we should see, but this is more for you guys, because we've got a hell of a list now. So if any of you have seen Comes a Bright Day, let us know if it's good and whether you can vouch for Stephen Higgins' opinion on this. Or check it out yourselves. Comes a Bright Day. I'll try and track that down. Cool.
Well, Easter's just gone.
It has. Bye-bye.
We have had a few tweets in from Bill Boswell and from Weebly. Talking about, because someone... every Easter, there's certain films that come on, like Christmas is always Mary Poppins and Escape to Victory, whatever. Easter, when I was a child, I always watched Watership Down every Easter, and it was on Easter Sunday, and I missed it, but luckily I watched it again last night.
Yes.
Several adults tweeted in to complain to Channel 5.
That's right.
Saying it was too
this
violent.
This story, in fact, made it to American news media. There's a website called Film Drunk, which is an American film website, and they reported that people complained in the UK about Watership Down. Now, I think this is more a story... We'll get onto Watership Down in a minute, but I think this is more a story about people thinking that being offended in some way matters. Like, just turn it off, mate. Like,
it's not even...
It's not even remotely for kids.
There's hardly anything that's violent in that thing. Hardly anything.
It's just scary. I mean, basically, what's the little rabbit? It's been a while since I've seen it. The main...
Fiver.
He has The Shining, basically, doesn't he? That power where he sort of shakes and it's frightening for kids and he sort of sees things. But then there's the fight with the massive rabbit, isn't there?
Woundwalks.
Yeah.
I watched this film when I must have been about 6 or 7.
Right.
And I wasn't terrified. I used to read Grimm's Fairy Tales, which are horrifically violent.
Horrible,
things,
yeah.
And people being killed and whatnot. And the amount of... I think a bigger problem is the sexualisation of everything.
Mm.
There's far more sexualisation videos of people gyrating and almost shagging each other on TV all the time.
But marketed for kids as well.
Aimed at them, trying to get them to sell that. Compared to this, the adults who complain about this film should be injected with myxomatosis. I think they're total idiots.
Yeah.
If they don't show this film, so what upsets me is that now people go, "Oh, we're not going to show Watership Down because they got complained, and kids won't find it and won't find it an amazing piece of filmmaking which still stands up. The animation is beautiful. With all the watercolour backgrounds.
Yeah.
The music, Mike Batt, who did all the Womble stuff, he wrote Bright Eyes, Art Garfunkel, sang. The voices, you've got John Hurt playing Hazel, the lead. Ralph Richardson's narrating.
John Hurt makes a good rabbit, doesn't he? His voice suits a rabbit.
Wonderful. Richard Briers playing Fiver. Roy Kinnear playing Pipkin. People like Hannah Gordon playing it, the Denham Elliott playing Cowslip.
Yeah.
Is one, you could just listen to it as a radio play. And it's non-stop drama. The whole thing works beautifully. I think the book is is a phenomenal book. And this is still an absolute 10 out of 10 film. I watched it again and I'm preparing to be disappointed as I do each time. And I still loved it. It's similar to going to... I've got to stop saying like. I'm saying it the whole time. It really annoys me. It's similar to going to a walk in the country and you feel really refreshed after you've watched it. And you think, I would just like to be a rabbit living in the hill.
Yeah.
Much better. Look, I don't really care if I get chased by some sort of really horrible army, violent rabbit. It's still probably a better life.
I think Paul Simon probably hates this film.
Why?
Well, because he and Art Garfunkel fell out and they split up and went their separate ways to do solo work.
Yeah.
And Art Garfunkel didn't really do anything. And Paul Simon produced, you know,
Graceland
and incredible albums, and so celebrated musician. But because of this film, Bright Eyes still is more successful than any of Paul Simon's songs. And so Art Garfunkel still beat him.
Well, I hope Paul Simon's put that behind him.
And can now watch Watership Down every Easter.
Because he'll be missing out on a great film.
Mm. And it is good. I have very creepy memories from it. Not scary ones, but hugely enjoyable. Is there a naughty seagull in it?
Yes, Kiar.
Who plays Kiar?
Zai Mostel, some sort of actor. The seagull's a little bit annoying. It's like it's an Italian sort of seagull.
Because he's migrated, I think. Is that why?
Yes, Italian? It's that sort of thing. That's clever. But
I should watch it again. I should.
You must watch it again, and you will really enjoy it. And for those parents who complained that you should never be able to, you should have your children should be taken away from you.
Because you're just going to be raising some more cunts.
I don't think you're responsible to enough to have children.
Okay. Well, if you're one of the people who complain.
It's a film about life. It feels that you get the whole cycle of life in it.
Yeah.
And it's done beautifully. It deals with death and it deals with that really, really well. It deals with sort of conflict and overcoming things. And it's a brilliant film. Well done, everyone. Made in 1978.
1978.
Still better than pretty much all the animations out today.
Mm. Well, there's some good ones, though. I mean, animation has sort of...
The Iron Giant is my modern favourite one.
That's Brad Bird, who did The Incredibles and Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Oh.
He then went on to do Tomorrowland instead of doing the next Mission Impossible film, and that sort of tanked. I've not seen it, but...
Poor Brad Bird.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. Poor Brad Bird. Yes.
Well, that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll do for this week. We'll be back next week with yet more films. If you'd like to email us in the meantime, then please do so. Our address is dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or you can talk to one another, recommend films to one another, why not? If you've seen something recently, do let us know. We like to share stuff around. Go to our Facebook page, /filmfandango. Or if you just want to Twitter on at us, then go to Twitter. That's @FilmFandango, @MrDavidReed, and @MarekLarwood. And finally, we do all of this for free. So if you would like to continue... Correct. If you'd like us to continue to produce it for free, then please do help us out and go to filmfandango.co.uk and donate some money by following the links. And everyone who has, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good. Yes, that's enough for now. We'll be back next week.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.